Our scripture this morning comes from Luke, chapter 1, verses 49 through 55. Let us listen for the word of God. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
There are two Sundays in January I want to mention. I want to mention this every Sunday until they happen so that you have a chance to arrange your schedule to make sure that you can be here. Feel free to get out your phone or whatever device you keep your calendar on and schedule these now to be in town. On MLK Sunday, January the 19th, our special guest will be Dr. Cheryl Anderson. Cheryl was a lawyer working with the federal government in the 1980s who made her way here to Foundry and became an active member of Foundry Church, involved in our social justice ministries and also in our prayer ministry. She experienced a call to ordained ministry, attended Wesley Seminary. Later, she did additional study in the Old Testament. She now teaches at Garrett Seminary outside of Chicago, and she has written a very important book called Ancient Laws and Contemporary Controversies, in which she teaches how we can understand the Bible and the rules and laws in the Bible that often we see as being contradictory to the Spirit of Christ, and how we can read and interpret the Bible about the issues that we deal with today having to do with things like gender and other religions and sexual orientation and identity. It's a very important book. You'll find on my blog, on the Foundry website, an interview I did with Cheryl, and she will be our speaker for MLK Sunday on January the 19th, and I encourage you to prioritize that Sunday. And then January the 26th, a week later, our special guest will be Frank Schaefer. Frank was a evangelical pastor serving a church in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, whose son was gay. And his son asked him to do his wedding, and Frank performed the wedding, and someone from the congregation filed a complaint against him. It led to a trial. Many of you read about it in the newspapers. It turned Frank into an advocate for marriage equality. And so we've invited him to come and be with us the last Sunday in January, and I would encourage you to invite your friends, especially friends who don't understand the struggle for full inclusion within the church, to come and on that Sunday to hear the word that Pastor Frank Schaefer will bring to us. So those are two special Sundays in January. Let's pause for a moment to pray for one another. Be aware of the person sitting to your left and the person sitting to your right. And let's bow our heads for a time of silent prayer. Lift up the person sitting to your left. It may be somebody you don't know or someone you do know. Even if you don't know them, let your heart and mind be guided to a prayer for their life. Be aware of the person sitting to your right, whether you know them intimately or not at all. Let the Spirit move you to pray for something for them for the week ahead. Now say a prayer for yourself, that your spirit might be open to the presence of God in your life this week, who longs to forgive you, to nurture you, and to extend to you God's grace. If you prayed for someone this week that you don't know, be sure to extend a handshake and a smile to them following the benediction after worship this morning. Amen. I've never tried to surf, although I love watching people surf. Surfing is beautiful and fascinating to observe. Surfers catch a wave just ahead of where the wave is breaking and then ride the wave to shore. Surfers don't create the wave, but they learn how to keep their balance and maneuver their board so as to ride it. They learn to align themselves with the wave. I've never sailed. I've been on sailboats when other people were sailing, but I myself have never tried to sail. Sailboating is beautiful to watch as sailors harness the wind in relationship to the position of the sailboat in the water. Sailors don't create the wind, but they learn to ally themselves with it. Haven't surfed, haven't sailed. I have done canoe floats. When our son David was a teenager, he and I and the dog Holly would do canoe float camping trips in summer down the Delaware or Juniata River in Pennsylvania, trips that sometimes lasted a week or 10 days or 2 weeks. Canoe floats don't take the skill that sailing or surfing does, but still you harness the power of the current. If you can keep your canoe upright through the occasional rapids, the flow of the current will eventually take you downstream to where your car is waiting to take you to a hot shower. I think that surfing and sailing and even canoe floating are strong metaphors for the life of faith. We don't make the wave, the wind, or the flow, but we learn to ride it. We learn to keep afloat in it. We learn to trust it. We learn to align ourselves with it. This is the life of faith. We're near the beginning of a 6-month emphasis here at Foundry on working our core. Physical educators tell us we used to go to the gym and we would spend a lot of time trying to strengthen our arms and our legs, but physical educators tell us that the key to strength and health is a strong core strength. Our core is the part of the body between our hips and our shoulders. Strong legs, strong arms don't help us much unless our core is strong. So during this season, we're asking what our spiritual core is. What are the core spiritual muscles that we need to work to be spiritually strong? And one of those muscles that we're talking about right now during the season of Advent is the trust muscle. We will not be spiritually strong unless our ability to trust is strong. One of the biblical embodiments of trust is Jesus' mother, Mary, who trusted God when things were happening to her that it was hard for her to understand. An angel came to Mary and told her that she would have a baby who would rule over the house of Jacob and whose kingdom would never end. And Mary asked, "How can this be since I am only a young girl?" And the angel said, "With God, nothing will be impossible." And Mary answered, "Then let it be. Let it be." Later, Mary sings what we have come to call the Magnificent, the Magnificat. It's a beautiful hymn. And in the hymn, Mary includes a litany of what God has done throughout history. She sings, "God has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has helped God's servant Israel in remembrance of God's mercy according to the promises God made to our ancestors. In this theological story, Mary grasps that she is riding a wave that she did not create. She is sailing in a wind she did not blow. She is riding a flow that began long before she entered the water and that will continue long after she has docked her boat. History has direction. History flows in a direction. The direction is not neat. It's not as precise or clear as we'd like it to be. Those of us who are in the middle of it often cannot perceive the direction. We cannot see it very clearly or very far, but the eyes of faith can see that there is a real direction to history. The biblical story is about the flow of history. And Mary's song is a summary of the biblical understanding of the flow of history through time. God brings down the arrogant powerful. God brings down pharaohs and despots. God lifts up the lowly, the slaves and women and others whom the powerful disregard and disdain. God fills the hungry with good food and sends the rich away with empty souls. God sides with the poor. God is on the side of the poor in human history. God is bringing down the rough and arrogant, powerful, and lifting up the needy and the hungry. God liberates the oppressed. God reconciles enemies. God brings mercy and peace to those who are struggling and grieving. This is what God, the Spirit of God, is doing in human history. And our work is not to create the wave, not to blow the wind, not to create the flow, but to trust what the Spirit of God is already doing and to ride it into God's future. Jane and I were traveling in the Pacific a few years ago. We were on an island and we wanted to find a good health food store. And so we asked around and someone told us about a great health food store in a certain town on the island, and so we drove there. It turned out that the town was located on a beach that apparently had some of the best waves in the world for surfing. Most of the people who lived in this town were passionate surfers. Many of them had only part-time jobs so that they could devote the bulk of their time to surfing. Many lived in small houses, small apartments, and had few possessions beyond their surfboards and surfing equipment. They lived simple lives, lives of near poverty, so that they could devote all of their time and energy to surfing. There was a health food store in town because they ate simple, healthy diets. They made just enough money to get by, and they surfed. Almost everybody we saw in that town was muscular and slim and strong and mellow. They lived to ride the waves. The church is called to be the spiritual equivalent of that town. History, God's history, what the Germans used to call Heilsgeschichte, salvation history, is a wave, a wind, a flow. The work of the church is to ride it, not fully understanding where it came from or where it will go, but trusting that the wave is one that moves toward God's mercy. I know it's tempting for us, especially those of us who live in a place like Washington, D.C. It's tempting for us to want to control the wave, the wind, the flow. It's tempting for us to want to sort of set the direction of history and make history happen the way we want it to happen, to shape the future, but we cannot. The only place just about we can't make a wave in the ocean. The only place just about that we can make a wave is in our bathtubs. And that's too small a world for us to live in. If we want to live in the ocean, it's God who will make the wave, who will blow the wind, who will create the flow. We can learn to catch God's wave just ahead of where it is breaking. We can learn to ride the wind. We can learn to keep our little boats upright in the flow. But it is God who controls the wave, the wind, and the flow. Like Mary, we can develop the spiritual strength to trust God. God's wind always blows toward mercy. God's wind always blows toward justice. It always blows toward reconciliation. It always blows toward inclusion. Like Mary, we can develop the spiritual strength to trust God and to let God direct our paths.